if you see a couple people at the gym who, you know, look like they're in great shape, try to become their friends. Because if you see them there and you're working out, you know, a couple times a month or a couple times a week, and you want to, you know, be positively influenced, become their friend. And then, you know, when you're hanging out with them and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hang today, I got to go to the gym. What are you going to want to do? Go to the gym.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the With the Right People podcast. I'm your host, Crispin Schultz. And in today's episode, we've got Nico Sharnowski. And Nico has lost around 100 pounds. He has changed his lifestyle significantly in terms of diet, his exercise, how he motivates himself, and how he works to continue on his fitness journey. He's now preparing to run a marathon, which he'll have run by the time this episode airs, which is pretty exciting, which is his biggest fitness goal at the moment. And he's continually working to adapt changes in his lifestyle and make his life the best that he can live. And I'm pretty excited to have him here today, because I think his story is quite remarkable, and also goes to show what you can do if you just really set your mind to something. And he will also share good insights to what people might think about weight loss and fitness, and what might be the reality and what might be the things that actually help versus the things that might not help. So I think that's going to be a really valuable conversation. Nico, I'm so glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well as well, man. And I thought we getting into this, people listening, and some people might be in a situation where they feel like this might be a challenge for them and this might be a goal for them, especially people like this, but also people like, for example, myself. I always had other fitness goals. Like, for me, it was more about gaining weight. And, you know, everyone has their fitness goals. And I think talking about this today, no matter who you are listening right now, I think you will, and myself included, we will learn a lot. So, kind of starting off, man, how did you do that? Like, how did it all happen? And tell us a bit about the story behind it.
For sure. Well, to start kind of at the beginning, growing up, I was always a little bit on the heavier side, especially starting in like fifth grade or so. So age 11, age 12, I, you know, became less active and was snacking. And I would, you know, look at what my dad was eating and then eat similar amounts of food. And I always kind of found a comfort in food. And so, you know, slowly over time, I became a little bit heavier. And when I was heavier, I always wanted to lose the weight. But then kind of after my freshman year of college, it got to the point where, I felt really unhealthy. I was tired all the time. I was, I had no energy to really do anything. And so I actually met my trainer, Eric Fredrickson, who's also now my good friend and my roommate. And he had mentioned that he was interested in, you know, having a first client, because he's studying personal training or exercise science. And we got to talking, and he wanted to have me as his first personal training client. And in January of 2022, I started my fitness journey. And so we worked out, I think, 3 or 4 times a week together, which was like just the right amount, because in times past when I had tried to lose some weight, I'd be working out every single day. And so slowly through making adjustments of my diet, adjustments to other things in my life, like, for example, going out and drinking. That's a lot of things. It's a thing that a lot of people don't actually think about, or think about the impact that has on your weight loss, or your weight even. So making small adjustments here and there, and then trying to get 1% better every single day.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's something That's something I've been following you on Instagram as well, and that's something I really appreciate. I see your stories and I see that you keep your rituals up, and as I was talking to you as well, I feel like the one thing you're really good at is this continual improvement. And I think you will talk about this later, having bad days and how that makes you feel and how you deal with that. And also for people listening, to kind of focus on the basics, which I think one of that is consistency. And but before we get into that, there must be some sort of starting point. I think this was kind of around the time where you said that you kind of changed your surrounding. You met Eric as well. And explain to people, because I feel like most people might think, oh, there's always this, you have to have this moment where you make that decision, right? Maybe it's for some people, it's like New Year's, they've taken their goals, they note it down and then they want to achieve it, but you actually have to get into action. How did you get to that point?
Yeah, so I'll kind of try to digest your question there.
Yeah.
Definitely making sure that you're surrounded with the right people. So, if you see a couple people at the gym who, look like they're in great shape, try to become their friends. Because if you see them there and you're working out, a couple times a month or a couple times a week, and you want to, be positively influenced, become their friend. And then, when you're hanging out with them and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hang today, I got to go to the gym. What are you going to want to do? Go to the gym. So a lot of that has impact on how much you actually are active. But then over time, you just have to slowly make the change. And I don't want to discourage people from, for example, making a New Year's resolution of, okay, this year I want to lose 50 pounds or whatever. Great. Go ahead and try that. But also, if you're going to make that goal for yourself, find ways to back that goal up. So I'm going to lose 50 pounds by working out 5 times a week, and I'm going to make sure that 50% of my diet is protein. And every time before I work out, I'm going to do the following things to kind of get myself in the headspace and the mental space to have a good workout. And then I think the last thing is realizing that it's going to take stupid consistency, because that's the biggest thing.
Talk about stupid consistency.
Well, I think there are days where I go to the gym and I'm like, okay, I have to do an hour, or I tell myself I have to do an hour. And recently, to kind of train for my marathon, I've been doing hours on the stair stepper. So I've done 2 hours once, and then a few times where I did an hour plus, and it's so boring.
Yeah.
So when I say stupid consistency, I mean if you want to see a change, it's gonna have to be stupidly consistent, or you're gonna have to be stupidly consistent. And a lot of people, think that, okay, if I try this new diet and I do it for a month, I'm going to look great at the end of the month. And you know what? You might lose 10 pounds in the month, or, it's roughly healthy to lose somewhere between 1.5 to 3 pounds a week or so, which is, 3 pounds a week is kind of lofty. So that's, just about 10 pounds a month. Maybe a little bit more, but finding a way to prioritize that time in the gym too is just—it's huge. Personally, I know kind of on a day-by-day basis, and because I'm a student, it doesn't really take away from my life like it would when I'm working, or when I will be working. But making sure that, okay, today's Monday. Today I'm going to do a boot camp workout, so a mix of weights and cardio, knowing that, okay, today's this day, I got to go to the gym at some point and get this workout in, because it's so important. And there's people who you know, schedule their workouts, they put it in their calendar. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, and don't quote me on this, I think there's a statistic where it's like, if you schedule yourself to do something, even if you don't want to do it, you're like 10% more likely to do it.
Mm. Same with writing down goals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially like writing down goals specifically like with times and so on. It's a big difference.
Yeah. So, that's huge. Consistency is hard. There are definitely days where I don't want to work out.
And I feel like this is something I just came up with. Do you know that feeling when you're at the gym? I know that. I go to the gym, and some days I go to the gym, it's great. I'm like there, it's perfect. I lift more weight than like last week, and it's like great feeling. But then there's days you're at the gym, and for some reason you're not exactly sure why, but like things don't really work out. You're like doing something like my form like it doesn't feel right, or you get kind of like not in a great momentum, let's say that. What do you do in these days? Do you say pushing through? Do you say like okay, let me just do the simplest thing and do that and then I can go home? Or like, do you have any sort of thing to get yourself through that moment?
Yeah, so a couple things. I don't lift a whole lot of weights, so I do like a functional fitness class on Mondays and Fridays, which is like a mix between CrossFit, weightlifting, cardio. So it's a good mix. So just to give you a little background there on my lifting weight situation, I used to, and I think that sometimes, at least personally for me, lifting weights can be a little bit more discouraging than doing like cardio and then that class on Mondays and Fridays. Mm. So I would say like, it's important to definitely listen to your body to some extent, but then like there's other days where listening to your body and just not wanting to do it kind of mesh together. Mm. So, you know, listen to yourself. And if you're, you know, really, really feeling like, okay, you know, doing these squats, it's hurting my knees, try something else. Like try doing air squats or, you know, timed squats. So, you know, 2 seconds down, 1 second pause at the bottom, and then as fast as possible go up. There's ways you can switch it up to make it so it's not as like painful, or, you know, there's not as much load on your body, but still kind of get that same workout in. And then, you know, if it's something like cardio and, you know, oh, my feet really hurt from running on this treadmill, you know what, I'm going to try doing a stair stepper today or the bike. So switching it up to like having that difference in what you do when you work out is really good for your mind as well, because it's really easy, like I said, to get bored. And then, you know, having something interesting to listen to in your ears while you work out is a great tip. Mm. There are people who, like David Goggins, for example, when he runs, he doesn't listen to anything, which kind of blows my mind. It's like, you know, it's obviously a good time for reflection, but it's really also easy to bore yourself or to get discouraged through that. So have a good playlist or a podcast, for example.
Mm.
I've listened to your podcast while I've been working out. It keeps your mind entertained while your body's just doing the work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of on autopilot. And then I've also been kind of listening to some motivational YouTube videos. Mm. So I'm going to shout out this YouTuber.
Yeah.
His name is Matuz M. So that's MatuzM. And he has these videos that are like kind of give you some perspective. Like some of them are a little bit morbid too, because it's like, if you're going to die in 30 minutes, what kind of effort would you give right now? And that always gets me going. Mm. He did, like, I didn't grow up watching Kobe or anything like that, but he did a video about Kobe, and it was like, when you die two times. The first time when the last breath leaves your body, and the second time when the last person you know says your name. So I thought that was kind of inspiring, and, you know, you just have to find new ways to switch it up in the gym, because doing the same thing every day, you're going to get sick of it.
Wow. That's intense. Yeah. And I think you taught me, and I think that's the mindset of the trainer you met, Eric. How do you put the percentage on mental versus physical when it comes to fitness and weight loss?
Yeah, so I would say it's at least 75% mental.
Wow.
I actually want to push it to 80%.
I was about to say, you know, I was thinking as you said the number, I was trying to figure out which one you would say. And I was kind of like thinking mental will be high. And then as you said 75, I was like, okay, maybe it's not that high, because I thought you were going to say like 75 physical, but 75 mental or higher. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So I would say the number is that high because your body is so much stronger than we think it is. So much stronger. For example, a month or two ago, I ran 20 miles. And the most training I'd done before that was 15 miles.
Hmm.
And I was feeling like very motivated that day. So I was feeling good. I didn't have the same like, okay, we're going to go do this motivation when I ran 20 miles. But, yeah. You know, I woke up, I did my little ritual, drank a little bit of water, had a little snack, and then went out and did it.
Oh.
And I remember pretty vividly right around the 15, 16, 17 mile mark, somewhere in there, I hit this mental barrier. It's like, Nico, stop running, start walking. And you have to push through because, first of all, like I was within 5 miles at that point, within 5 miles of being done. And I knew that if I, you know, if I stopped running and I started walking, like the rest of the time I'd be walking.
Hmm.
So when I say it's a mental barrier or such a mental thing, I really mean it. Like, you know, when on the days where I've skipped my workout, which is kind of rare, I think I've been doing my schedule basically correctly for the last 3 or 4 months, which is probably my longest streak in a while.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing that's stopping me from going to the gym. It's like, oh, I feel lazy, or I don't want to go, or
yeah,
it's mostly laziness, but, it's just such a mental thing, and you have to get over that mental hurdle to really succeed.
I'm curious about one thing when it comes to mental, and I'm sure, I know Eric read the book by James Clear, Atomic Habits as well. I'm not sure if you read it, mm-hmm. but you're probably familiar with it as well. So he talks about, obviously, habits. And one point I never knew about habits that I discovered through him, and I'm wondering if you kind of implemented something of that, is the point of reward. So I feel like, for me, everything that I do, and I do well, and I do often, when I think about it, it's something that I associated as a reward. So, like, naturally, you know, we as humans, we kind of go away from pain and towards pleasure, just if we don't think about it, you know, that's some sort of mechanism in us. So I'm wondering if you did anything to, what do you think about rewards in general? Did you ever, consciously did something to make the experience of weight loss rewarding for you? Maybe also in the terms of setting goals, do you look at your goals? Do they motivate you? Like going to that reward and motivation, we can talk about after, but like the reward part first.
For sure. Yeah. So, I have read the book.
Nice.
I highly recommend it to all of you listeners who are interested in, kind of motivating yourself in a lot of ways. But there's a few things that I do to reward myself. First of all, once you're done with a workout, you have the endorphins, which is kind of like a built-in reward. Especially if you're doing cardio, which is kind of why I like cardio better than weights. And then the second thing I do to reward myself is I put on like some happy music when I'm done. So like when I start stretching or when I get off the treadmill or off the stair stepper, it's just feel good music.
Yeah.
That's an every time thing. And then I think there's some other built-in rewards to weight loss that are, I'm sure I could do more to reward myself, but there's some built-in rewards like buying new clothes. That's a really insane one, actually. Yeah. Like, you know, I still wear the same size shirt as I did, and sometimes when I was my heaviest, so it's a 2XL, just because like it fits me well still, or like it fits me better now. But you know, buying new clothes and feeling good in those new clothes, you know, and now I have a selection of shirts that I'm okay. This shirt used to be tight, but now I feel really good in this. Yeah. That kind of thing is big. The other thing that's kind of a built-in reward is like you just feel so much better. More energy. Let's see what else. More energy. You wanna go and be active. You wanna go hang out with friends if that's your thing you like to do. There's just so many different things that are kind of built-in rewards. Plus, you know, from a perspective of health, like in your body, like your body is just so much happier with how it is than, you know, before when you were at your peak weight or whatever.
Yeah. Also something, because I tried to implement that book as well. And one thing I noticed, and I like that you did exactly that, your reward has to be connected to the thing you did. Like if you go to the gym and then like 10 hours later, you like, kind of, I don't know, eat something nice and you're like, oh, a reward. That doesn't work like that well. But if you're in the gym and you actually consciously focus your thoughts on, hey, I just did something great for myself, and you kind of pat yourself on the back, and that's literally something you can do. That's something I did to kind of implement that. That's actually a pretty cool habit. Sounds stupid, but like if you're like, say you do something you didn't want to do and like that was really hard for you, but you want to do it. It can be something scary, it can be something stressful or just strenuous, you know? Just after you've done it, reflect and be like, wow, I just did this. And then maybe just be like, well done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then that I feel like people underestimate this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In terms of rituals, what other rituals helped you throughout the whole process? Like something people can take away from it.
Yeah. So one thing I have kind of almost always done for the entirety of my weight loss journey is I always take pre-workout or something with caffeine in it before I work out. And like, I'm not reliant on pre-workout, but I definitely like it if I have it, you know? So that's a good thing. I'll do this little like rituals video and I put out my story.
And, yeah, I like it.
I, you know, I have like a little playlist of music that I kind of like use to hype myself up a little bit. It's like, all right, you got this. You're going to go to the gym.
Yeah.
But just like, especially on days where you don't feel as confident in like wanting to go, or you know, you're lacking your motivation to go to the gym that day, that's when that is the most important. Let's see. It just, you know, like mentally preparing yourself to, like, you know, some people meditate before they go to the gym if they're gonna do you know, other types of like yoga, or they want to put themselves in the right headspace for where they're going. Meditation can be a good thing for that too.
I like that most of the habits you talked about, it's not the standard, like obviously because of weight loss, you want to eat less calories and work out more, like just like simply speaking. But I like that you actually consciously point out the small things, like which seem small, but they're actually big things mentally. Because the other things you can kind of just figure out after Googling it or after reading a book, or what you probably already know kind of what you have to do, right, to get change going. And obviously there's more nuances to it, and you might want to like speak to a trainer and like, or educate yourself about it. But I like the mental part behind it.
Thank you.
And then also, what about the concept of motivation?
Yes. So that's a big one. Motivation and how you motivate yourself is so crucial to weight loss and working out. any goals like you have in the gym, like I used to rely on motivation to hit my goals. And now motivation is nice. I love it when I'm motivated, but it's not a consistent thing, which I remember hearing that. And it kind of took me aback because, every time before, like when I had tried to lose weight, I relied purely on motivation. So I'd go to the gym for a month and be like, okay, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go insanely hard every single day. And, now like I know motivation isn't going to be there every day, but when I'm motivated, it's nice. But when it's not, I'm going to go do my rituals and then go to the gym and do my workout anyways, because that's the commitment I've made to myself. So another thing about motivation that, I think a lot of people might struggle with today is like the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. So for those of you who are listening who don't know, extrinsic motivation is basically when you rely on external factors to motivate yourself. So like, I want to look just as good as this Instagram model, for example. Intrinsic is where when you rely on yourself for that motivation. So today I want to lift 5 more pounds than I did the same day last week. And so creating intrinsic goals or intrinsic motivation and intrinsic goals for yourself is so big. Because, you know, you're more likely to let yourself down if you rely on extrinsic motivation. So like, even like having a gym buddy, if you say, okay, today I'm going to go with my gym buddy, and every time my gym buddy goes, I'm going to go, and then your gym buddy misses a week, what's going to happen?
Wow, this is actually, like, I like, you know, I don't know if you know about this book, but The One Thing, great book by Gary Keller, talking about that in most cases there's a few things, like mostly one thing, that's actually going to be the biggest determining factor for your success. And also it talks about other stuff, like you really want to focus on one area as well and so on. But apart from that, just like taking that simple concept, probably getting a gym buddy might be this one small action. And Atomic Habits also talks about these things that you do once and then they will pay you forward. So getting a gym buddy is probably one of the biggest things you can do right now, and they will help you like forever, right?
Absolutely.
Let me see. So motivation, also summarizing this, you shouldn't put it like onto your, like you shouldn't make consistency dependent on motivation, but like the consistency can motivate you as well. And that's how I feel, you know, when you see your streak, right? That's motivating as well. You kind of create motivation by just doing stuff when you don't motivate it. So I think that's big. And I remember you told me that we should definitely talk about rest days, why they're key. Let's talk about that.
For sure. So, you know, especially when I tried to lose weight before, I didn't understand the importance of a rest day. But it's so, so helpful in the process of letting your body recover. You know, and now like I find myself like, I'll give myself a quote unquote rest day, but I won't actually rest in some ways. I'll still go to the gym and walk and then stretch and roll out on a, like a foam roller, because I like to, you know,
it's consistency,
iron in that consistency into my mind. And so that's really, really helpful. But also like, sleep.
Oh, rest. That's a big one. Tell me about that. I'm trying to work on this. on sleep.
Yeah, so getting that like 7-8 hours of sleep every night is in another way a rest day, so to speak.
Like, it's also a reward.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, relaxing.
So, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, like that's a huge thing because sleep and metabolism go hand in hand. So, you know, even if you say, okay, you know, I'm going to cut alcohol out of my life for a month and then you go and drink, you know, at the end of that month, the sleep you get that night is going to be worse than when you don't drink. And so, you know, that's another reason why alcohol is really detrimental to weight loss. But just making sure you make a habit for sleep for yourself, because it's really important.
And it's probably about taking care of yourself. I feel like if you adopt that mindset and maybe that identity change, that you are worth being taken care of by yourself, then you wouldn't want to like do something destructive as well.
Yep.
So that's probably goes into the mental part as well. Yep. Is there other things you kind of wish someone had told you before you started on this journey?
That's a good question. Give me just a second.
It's a deep question. So maybe think about that for a second. I'm also kind of thinking about something else that was on my mind.
I think, you know, like when I was trying to lose weight, you know, before I really made this commitment and sacrifice to myself to lose weight, I didn't really understand how big of a role nutrition had in weight loss. So protein, for example, compared to carbohydrates or fats, is likely better at promoting a sense of satiety. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry. I hope that gave you a laugh if you're listening. It's more likely to leave you satisfied after a meal and not like going back to, I need a snack a couple hours later, whereas carbohydrates, for example, are. So one huge thing is, how do you implement protein into your breakfast every day? Mm. So I do these like for breakfast, I usually eat sandwiches. Sometimes it's a bagel if I want to treat myself, but these sandwiches are like 35 calorie slices of bread. So 70 calories of bread, and then 2, 3, 4 slices of this like rotisserie chicken meat and a piece of cheese. And then I toast it. And, you know, occasionally there's some Chick-fil-A sauce in there too.
Yeah.
But you can have a couple or 3 or 4 of those sandwiches, and it's like, it's a decent breakfast, but it also has, I think somewhere around like 14 grams of protein in it. And then that leaves you feeling full longer than a bowl of cereal or 2 bagels or, you know, those other.
Yeah, figuring out what works for you and figuring out kind of the, not only the habits, but also like the food and the food habits that work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are your steps from now? Let's kind of talk about this. So you're going to run a marathon, like it's in 1 week or so? Like, when is that?
Saturday? Yeah, this Saturday.
Wow. And then what's tell me about this quickly, and then like kind of the steps you're on right now in your fitness journey.
Yeah, so at the beginning of this academic year, so September 2021, roughly, I told myself, all right, this first semester of my senior year, I'm going to run a half marathon. Did it. And then I told myself, in the same goal, I'm going to do one, like a full one, by the time I graduate. So this Saturday, it's the week before my graduation. And so I'm going to do a marathon. And I was careful to not just say, you know, I'm going to go out and do a marathon. Because when? That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a half marathon is an accomplishment, don't get me wrong. But the training that's required for a marathon compared to a half marathon, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Your body hits a wall, like physically speaking, right around the 18-mile mark. So it's probably 18 miles for you who are listening, if you're in decent shape. For me, it's a little bit before that because I'm, you know, I still have a little bit of extra weight. And so that's when your body has depleted its glycogen storage. You know, your electrolytes are kind of out the window too. So that's when you know, really like have to, mentally level up and keep and make sure you keep running, because that's when your body wants to quit.
I feel like this would be a great summarizing question for not only weight loss, because it goes into the mental thing again. Let me ask you this, and I feel like you might have thought about this before. What are you going to do like on Saturday in the marathon in exactly that moment where you feel like your body will give up? Your plan?
Yeah, I do actually. So that YouTube, that YouTuber that I talked about, I actually got like a free trial subscription to YouTube, premium. So like no ads, I can just like listen and then click on the next one. And like, I can lock my phone screen and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen to that video about Kobe, because the first time I listened to it, it just gave me like the craziest goosebumps in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to also like look down at my Apple Watch and see, okay, I've run however many miles. It'll probably be like 15, 20, and then tell myself, okay, you know, if you can quit right now, but if you quit right now, then you, at some point later in this week, before you graduate, you got to go out and you got to do this thing. And you've already made it 15, 18, 19, 20, whatever, wherever that point hits me, you've already made it that far. If you quit now, you got to go and restart the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, like once you're past 13.1 miles, which is a half marathon, there's no point in giving up.
Yeah. I like it, man.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would, that I didn't ask you, you would ask yourself, or anything you also wanted to share for everyone listening as something like a summary?
Give me just a second to think about it. Yeah, I'll actually touch on one other thing that kind of helps with, actually two things. So the first is the importance of at some point in your week lifting weights, whether that be like a cross, which is what I do, like between cardio and lifting weights. Or like just traditionally lifting weights. When you lift weights, you actually build muscle. And when your muscle starts to grow, it requires more nutrition on its own.
True.
Which automatically, or not automatically, but throughout time, increases your metabolic rate. So, you know, if you like eating 2,500 calories per day, or whatever it is you have in mind for roughly what your goal is for calories for the day, and you want to keep it at that, or you want to raise it because you simply like eating food, start lifting weights. The sweet spot is, you know, if you don't want to like just focus on lifting weights and becoming stronger, the sweet spot is like somewhere between 2 and 3 times a week to get that increase in metabolic rate. And if you lift weights twice a week and you do kind of like a full body workout, you will keep the muscle mass or the muscles that you have right now going forward. So that's one really big thing. One second for the other thing. Oh yeah, the other big thing, sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
Sacrifice is insanely important. I have a saying, like on my fitness thing, like I made this little quote, and it's, tomorrow's success comes from today's sacrifice. And so, you know, like, don't get me wrong. I love going out and having drinks at the bar with friends, or, going to a party. But at the same time, I know that if I really want to lose weight, I have to limit how many times I do that. So like when I first got started, I completely stopped drinking for I think probably 3 months or so. And that not only does it save you money, you don't wake up hungover, you don't go and get that drunk McDonald's that you wanted. There's so many benefits. You sleep better too. There's so many benefits that come from just deciding to sacrifice having some fun nights out. Other things that you can sacrifice, you know, dessert.
True.
I have a bad sweet tooth, so and I'll kind of touch on what I did when I started nutrition wise as well. I stuck to one plate at the dining hall where I was eating, and I tried to make half the plate protein, a quarter fruits and veggies, and then the other quarter carbohydrates. And so that gave me, you know, enough protein to give me that feeling of satisfaction from the meal, enough carbs to fuel my body, and then, you know, the fruits and veggies, the good stuff, the stuff you need all the time. And so sacrificing sweets from that plate is a huge thing. Another thing that I wish I kind of knew before is to not be scared of, like, diet beverages. So, you know, when you're losing weight, having a Diet Coke, for example, is my drink of choice. But, like, whether that's Diet Sprite or Diet Mountain Dew or whatever drink you like, having that that's cold in the fridge, you can grab it. It's something other than water to drink. And you know, the carbonation in it fills up your stomach, which is really, really big. It's kind of like a guilt-free thing at this point. So every time I go grocery shopping, I buy some of that. Another thing, if you are looking for some additional motivation for when you go work out, or additional motivation to lose weight, there's an autopsy video of an obese woman on YouTube. It's kind of graphic, so there's your warning. But it kind of, they go through and they, as they do the autopsy of the woman, they show the impact that the additional weight has on your body. So, you know, here's how heavy the liver is, for example, compared to a healthy liver. Seeing that kind of impact, the difference that, you know, 30, 40, 50 plus pounds has on your body between what's a healthy weight and what's a normal weight, is really, really interesting. And then another little fun snippet is for every 10 pounds you lose, no, it's for every 1 pound you lose, that's 4 times less pressure on your joints.
Wow.
So that one, like 400 times less pressure in my body.
That's ridiculous. Wow.
There was one other thing I wanted to share. Oh, yeah. I want to give one other shout out.
Yeah, let's do it.
So first of all, big shout out to my trainer, Eric Fredrickson. That's how you can find him on Instagram. That's E-I-R-I-K. I guess he'll probably put it in.
Yeah, put it in the show notes.
Another really inspirational weight loss person is Dusty Lost 300 Pounds. You can find him on Instagram as well. At Dusty Lost 300 Pounds, and he posts, like, you know, good breakfasts. Here's if you want to lose weight and you like shopping at Costco, here's what you can buy. And then just, you know, some other, like, relatable content for people who are, you know, in that journey of fitness. And like I said, like his name suggests, he lost 300 pounds, which is, like, it's just so cool. If you're, you know, considering something like weight loss surgery or something like that, or, you know, you've been feeling like you're trapped in this, in your body by the weight, and you've tried everything to lose it, give it one more shot before you go ahead and do something like that, like having your stomach reduced, for example. That's probably not the official term for it, but my suggestion for you is to try something simple. Like, every single day when you go to the gym, or, you know, I wouldn't say go more than 5 times a week when you start, but, you know, even if it's walking, like, great exercise. Even if it's riding a stationary bike, also great exercise. Make it simple, simple enough that you can do it consistently. And then with nutrition, track what you're eating. I use MyFitnessPal. That's the best one. And I don't actually track what I'm eating now. I have a pretty good idea of what I'm eating throughout the day. But it's really, really easy to implement because you can like make these meals. And then, if you meal prep, for example, every time you grab one of those meals from the fridge, you can just click on the meal that you've made and that automatically adds it to your, what you've eaten for the day. One other thing, it also allows you to scan the barcode of things. So instead of just like guessing when you like search bread, for example, you can scan the barcode of your bread and then it keeps it kind of memorized in your searches so that you can just click on that and then add two slices of bread for a sandwich. And then you can scan the peanut butter, for example, if you're going to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and the jelly. That's super easy. But give it one more shot because, making a change like that, for example, with stomach reduction surgery, you can't have carbonated beverages. Wow. Diet Coke goes out the window. People have tendencies to have really, really bad stomach pain after eating like items that are garlicky as well. So, and like hair loss can happen too, because when you lose a lot of weight really fast. And then the very last thing I'll say is, kind of don't listen to the BMI. Or do you know what BMI is?
Yeah.
And body mass index, for those of you who are listening and don't know. It can be used as a decent metric, but it doesn't account for how much muscle you have.
Yeah.
It's just your height and your weight.
Yeah.
So don't if you go to the doctor and they say, okay, your BMI is 37 or something high, don't worry too much about that. Just do your thing. Make a healthy routine for yourself. Even write a contract with yourself, frame it, put on the wall. It's something I did with my trainer. And once you sign something like that, you're more likely to do it. And best of luck. If you'd like, you can follow me on my fitness Instagram at NicoGetsFit, or my personal Instagram, Nico_SVLOGS. You should find it too if you just look up Nico Sharnowski.
Yeah.
So.
Fine. Thank you very much for sharing all that. I'm pretty sure that's very helpful, man. Like even me not being in a weight loss situation right now, I feel like I learned a lot. And man, this might give people actually quite good step to just start the process. I like it a lot, man.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me on. I for you that are listening, I hope this was helpful and I hope it's inspiring. And, you go out and you change your life.
Let's do it.
Alrighty.
Alright, see you next time, man.
Yeah.
Alright, it's Crispin here. Just wanted to tell you, if you're already waiting for the next episode and you're wondering when it's coming out, it's going to be Wednesday morning. Every second Wednesday morning, there's going to be a new episode. And if you don't want to miss out on that, or you don't want to worry about which day, what week, whatever, just click that button, subscribe, follow, however it's called on your platform, and your platform will do the best to put that episode kind of in front of you. So no reason to worry about it. Just click that button. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in the next episode.